Welcome to the Women's Motorsports Network podcast, the show that puts the spotlight on the incredible women who fuel the world of motorsports. From drivers to crew members, engineers to fans, and everyone in between, we're here to celebrate the trailblazers, dreamers, and doers shaping the sport we love. Each episode, we share inspiring stories of females of all ages from every corner of the motorsports universe, past, present, and future. It's a journey through the seasons of life filled with heartfelt moments, laughter, and a whole lot of horsepower. So whether you're a lifelong fan, a racer yourself, or simply curious about the extraordinary women behind the wheel, settle in, relax, and enjoy a fun and uplifting ride with us. This is the Women's Motorsports Network podcast, connecting and celebrating women in motorsports, one story at a time. Let's hit the track.
Hello, everyone. This is Melinda Russell with the Women's Motorsports Network podcast. And my guest today is Betty Nelson. I met Betty through social media. Big surprise, right? That's how I meet most of the ladies that I connect to. But I did a story about her quite a number of years ago in my magazine. And we kind of follow each other, but have lost touch somewhat. And then I saw she was doing something real exciting this last year. And so I wanted to have her on so she could share with you about the Ladies Acceleration Tour. But first, Betty, I'd like to welcome you to the show. And I would like for you to share with my listeners a little bit about yourself so we can get to know you better.
Hi, everyone. I am Betty Nelson, and I am a mom of three boys, a grandmother of three amazing grandchildren. I'm a grandmother of two dogs as well. let's see. I'm a real estate agent by day, and I do a lot of racing during the summer. My whole family is now into racing. I don't know if I'm a big fan of my children racing, but you know, they're wanting to dip their toes a little bit into some racing. So they have started this past about a couple years now. They have started racing. So that's just a little bit about my family and what we're kind of doing on our summers now.
And they probably got the racing bug from you, so it's kind of hard to say no.
Yeah, that they did. They followed me since they were young. You talked about your magazine. That was actually, I still have it from 2018, a little clip of it. It was 2018 that we had met and chatted a little bit in regards to that story. And I think that was my first championship, which was in a ladies division there, which is quite the story in itself of how I got there. Been racing since 1999. I want to say it's 1999. I think I started racing in a Volkswagen GTI and did well. Had my first win, second season out. Closest I got to a championship was third place in points.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad when you have, you know, 25 plus cars out there in a mixture. There was a few of us ladies out there, maybe two or three of us were out there in that division. Me and another lady, Beech Ridge Motor Speedway is now closed, unfortunately, which is our home track. We set a record of being the first one and two, obviously winning in a feature race with 20 other men out there. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, everybody, we were young, so we have children now, all of us, and we get out of racing for a little while. And I got back into racing 2015 or 16, I want to say it was, and I moved up to what they call the Mad Bomber division at Beech Ridge Motor Speedway. And since I had experience in racing, even though there was over an 8-year gap, I had to go into a varsity division. So, which was fine, but it was a brand new car for me. It's a Camaro. I had never even dipped my toes into doing something like this. So I decided to join the ladies division so that I could get some lap time with this car. And so I raced twice a night on Thursday Thunder. So in the ladies, and then would, you know, have a break for just one race and then was back out in my same car. For the Mad Bomber division. I want to say fifth place, I think, was the highest I got in that. Again, some very stout men drivers. Yeah. There. So to place fifth in points, you know, it was great. I mean, I think my highest position might have been second place, which was a win to us.
Sure.
Because that was a lot of learning experience. So then we went off to Oxford. You know, Beech Ridge closed down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's heartbreaking for a lot of people. We went to Oxford, did some racing there, and I want to say top five in points there as well. And then the most exciting, where kind of the ladies acceleration tour begins, is I decided to go to my home track when I was 13 years old. 13 years old, my dad is the person who got me into racing. So he introduced me to Unity Raceway in Unity, Maine. And loved it. I followed Ralph Nason, all of them. And I said, one day I will be out here racing. Unfortunately, Unity closed for a few years. And then Joey Doyon and Ralph Nason got together and they opened the track back up. So once they opened that track back up, obviously I was first in line to get there to support this track. And I said, you know what? This is my opportunity. I missed it years previous. I'm not going to miss it this round. So it is now a dirt track. It is not an asphalt track. It is now dirt, which is, Maine doesn't have a dirt track. So that was a learning experience to run from asphalt for years, since 1999. I think I've been racing 16 years, if I do the math right, to go into dirt. That was a learning curve, and we had a blast. We just took, they did their first points run this past season of 24, and I was just 100 points from championship. Me and a great one of the other guys, they were super, super nice. They've driven dirt. They were very respectful out there with me. They knew I was learning, and I got second place in points. And again, to me, that's a win.
I think so too, because dirt is a whole different animal than asphalt.
It is a very different animal. The only thing I could say about it is the fact that once I learned how to set up my car and run the dirt, when I did this tour, which is where Unity starts for that, is I ran asphalt a couple times, and wow, am I a different driver from being on dirt to going to asphalt. I mean, some things would have scared me, being just an asphalt driver, no longer scared me.
I love it. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Unity Raceway, Joey is the reason I have such big support from Unity Raceway, is he took a chance, went out there and did this dirt track, and he's had huge success, and I'm super excited for them, for his whole family. We were racing up there, and just a little backstory of, there is no more ladies divisions in the state of Maine. No more. There's none at Speedway 95. There's no more at Oxford, which is how they were the last track to have a ladies division. Car count is low when it comes to the women drivers out there that just want to race with ladies. So when you only have four cars out on the tracks have decided it's time to let that division go.
Yeah.
As much as we don't want to see it's happened all across everywhere. So going to Unity, I watched him take the successful of this track, and I was like, how can I do this? And my friend said to me, she goes, she was very upset. We had raced Unity Raceway, Long John weekend, big race. We sat down at an Airbnb, and she's like, what am I going to do? I had already known that they were going to cancel the ladies division. And this is what she ran. She's like, what am I going to do? I'm all done racing. I don't want to run with the men. And I said, well, I'll try to think of something, you know, years past, I thought maybe I could do it. And then I don't think I was in a place to do it. And then when it presented itself to me, I said, you know what? I think I'm in a place that I can do this. I've been back into racing for a lot of years. I know a lot of people. I have great sponsors. Hopefully they could jump on board with me, believe it, see what I could pull off on this. This was October of 23. By November, presenting this to Joey, I said, what do you think? Like, would you be welcome to, if I had five cars of ladies, I know you guys got rid of your ladies too, but if I brought five ladies, would you welcome us? And he said, whatever you need, Betty, I will be there. What phone number do you want to have? I will give it to you. I said, okay. 30 days later, we have the Ladies Acceleration Tour. We have Speedway 90, well, Unity, obviously, Unity Raceway, Speedway 95, Riverside Speedway in New Hampshire. And we had Wiscasset for our last big hoorah race at the end of the season with very little sponsors, but I wasn't worried about sponsors at the moment. I needed to make sure that these ladies had a place to race and that I could get the car count. So we got it. We got seven cars registered before May 17th was our opening day. Yeah, so a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of reaching out. I can't thank those tracks enough because without them, season two wouldn't have been possible. And without the ladies, obviously, we don't have a ladies tour without those drivers. So, them believing that I could actually do this and provide them the things that they needed and, you know, just went with it, and they loved it, absolutely loved it. We had a great summer, a really great summer.
So this is really interesting. So I listened to a podcast called In the Pits, and it's based in Maine. Are you familiar with it?
I am not. No. Well,
you need to listen to it. Do you know who Scott Tapley is?
I've heard of his name, yes.
Okay, so he manages or runs like two or three tracks. I'm not sure. He also is real close with Ryan Preece, the NASCAR driver. Yeah. But he's on this podcast. It's called In the Pits. John Williams is the guy that runs the podcast. And then there's Scott Tapley, who's always on. And then Spencer Morse is the announcer, I think, at Oxford.
Yes. Yes.
And he's on it. It's funny that when you say Oxford, Riverside, Wiscasset, I typically wouldn't know anything about those tracks, but I know quite a bit about them or have heard enough about them from listening to that podcast. I listen to it every week. It's on Monday nights and Friday mornings, and you can listen to it on any podcast platform. And, you know, a lot of it is they talk a lot of NASCAR and that, but they also talk a lot of local, like in Maine, New Hampshire, whatever. So I just, it's just a good podcast, and I've enjoyed listening. I especially like Scott Tapley, and so I just like to listen to it. But I've never heard any of them mention anything about the Ladies Acceleration Tour, and you're racing at some of those tracks that they talk about. So we need to get you on there.
Yes,
get you on that podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never even heard of it. I do know the people that you're referring to. I'm going to have to go check them out. I'll have to put a little bug in their ear.
Put a little bug in their ear that I listen. I'm a committed listener from Michigan, which does me absolutely no good as far as what I do, but I just enjoy listening to them. And so anyway, so you need to be on that show, and because they have guests on the show, you know. So that's interesting that our paths are kind of crossing a little bit there.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
So the Ladies Acceleration Tour, what kind of cars is it? What do they compete for? Tell me all about it.
So we finally got some sponsors, which was great. It didn't take us very long to get some sponsors. So they were even going to race. These ladies were going to race even without a payout. I wasn't a fan of that because it's travel. It has cost. So we did get some sponsors. And then we had two divisions that started. So we have a V8, which is kind of a Camaros. We have a Gen 4. We have a Monte Carlo on one of them is running. Our V8 count wasn't the best first year out. Our four cylinders ladies, they were right out of the gate. They had tons of cars. So I want to say we had at least seven four cylinders that traveled with us. And we had two of the V8s that traveled as much as they could. One traveled the whole season. Obviously, she became the champion, first ever ladies acceleration to a champion. Because she traveled to every track with us. So sometimes they would actually race together. So if there wasn't a car count, I would have to throw those V8s in with the four cylinders. And let me tell you, they still put on a show.
I bet.
At the end of the day, nothing beats that a four cylinder is running door to door with a Camaro. I mean, yeah. I don't know who you are, but if you don't get that excited to see something like that.
That's right.
It was some really, really good racing. I took my car out there with them. I disqualified myself. So the ladies really gave me a really hard time because they wanted to race with me. And I loved that. I respected that 100%. I didn't want it to be a conflict of interest. So what I ended up doing is I said, listen, when we go to each track, our first year was, we were going to go to each track twice. So the first time was we're all new, just learn the track, get a setup, things like that. When we came back to that track, those ladies did their homework and so did their pit crews. Okay. They came back and put on a heck of a show out there on the second visit of each track. So I didn't do homework because I didn't race the first race. So my homework was the second race. And boy, those girls made me earn any position that I wanted to achieve that night, but I wanted to try the tracks. I had never had that opportunity to travel and support these other tracks without committing to a whole full season. So I got to go out with them and I disqualified myself at every race. I said, I don't win when we take the checkers, if I happen to be leading, you take the checker flag. I'm going to continue around to the end and jump out and have photos with you guys. I'm never going to take this away from you guys. Sometimes I just wanted to pull off the track, you know, be like, oh, something happened and pull off so that they could be like excited that they won that race.
Right.
There's been times where we're door to door. I wasn't able to, you know, so I, without messing up the whole race or jeopardizing anything happening to the lady. So I'd have to stick it out to the very end. And then give them, you know, most tracks new to announce that I was not taking anything away from them. This was their win. I was just out there because they asked me to.
Right.
So I don't take no points. There's no points. I was just never there. I'm a ghost.
Yeah.
So I just raced with them. So they were excited to do that. So we did our first expo, the Northeast Motorsports Expo in Augusta.
Yeah, I know about it.
So excited. We finally got in. Last year, we were too late, which was okay. That's fine because remember I started in October, had a schedule for December and not knowing what I was doing. So this year we got in. We have four V8 signed up for this year.
Awesome.
So we are super excited over that. And then obviously the same four cylinder drivers are still on board. We have a couple from other tracks who are splitting their season. So they're going to run our tour and then run their local track, obviously, because I don't ever want to take away from the racetracks themselves. So they're going to still run their tracks there too, so which is exciting. So our car count has gone up quite a bit, so that's exciting news for this season.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people that don't know about it. That's why we are doing this. We need to get the word out for more people. Now, It seems to me like, do you know who Delaney Dunn is?
I do. She's one of my drivers. She's actually the first winner from Speedway 95, which was opening day. She took the first checkers for the Ladies Acceleration Tour.
Okay. I know Delaney. I did a story on her a long time ago, similar to you. And I follow her pretty closely. And I was thinking that she ran this series, but I wasn't 100%.
Yeah, so she unfortunately had some unfortunate season. You know, we all have those seasons.
Yeah.
It's not the best. She had the unfortunate season, but she took that with a grain of salt. She literally has been at the expo with me. You know, she's just given back to the tour, and it's amazing that even though she had a not so great season, that she's still so supportive of the tour. So we like Delaney. She's a sweetheart.
I'm aware that she had some unfortunate things happen, not of her doing.
No.
And so she's a great gal to have in your group, because she's
very
loyal.
Yep.
She loves racing and excuse me. So glad to hear that she's part of that.
Yeah. Yep. She's a great kid. I call her a kid. She's not really.
She is a kid. She can be my granddaughter. Absolutely.
She's a little shy from my oldest son. So of age. So she's a kid to me. She's been a very vocal spokesperson.
Yeah.
For the tour, and why I do these podcasts, why I kind of signing up for things. If I see it on social media, I try to sign up. To help spread the word, because they don't know. Some of the drivers at Wiscasset, we had a couple people join. They didn't know, and they were like, wait, there's a ladies tour? So they're like, can we run? And it was kind of like an open race to a point. So I was like, as long as your car is following somewhat of the guidelines, jump on in. And hopefully we get them, you know, this season. I don't know yet. Registrations are open. And we've had a few people sign up since the expo, so we'll see. But we need more. It's why I'm doing all of these. We need some more marketing out there, I guess.
So what's your plan for this season? When do you start? Where are you gonna go? All that good stuff.
So this season we did it again. I think it's May 17th is opening day for us. And we're back at Speedway 95, which is the original track that we started last year with. Schedules were hard this year. It was a little tough, only because I'm new at this. So last year they kind of just threw me in wherever. This year was a little different. I started reaching out in October. I figured, you know, I wouldn't reach out too early because people are still racing in September into October. Come to find out, they're like, no, you need to reach out in August. So lesson learned, we're going to, you know, this year we'll be reaching out, and I'll be reaching out in August to get, you know, better
on schedule,
you know, things like that. So this year we got Speedway 95. We have Unity for one. So this, I'm just going to drop this announcement here, so people are going to have to listen to the podcast. Unity has a big money payout race. That one is going to be announced here shortly. So we're trying to draw more ladies to, obviously Unity's a huge supporter of ours. So my biggest thing is I must support these tracks. They're supporting us. We're going to support them. So there's a big money race. I know dirt is hard, but we're going to get the ladies there. So we're going to do a big race in July for that. So stay tuned more for that information, but that's a big money race coming at you guys. We have Wiscasset twice this year, which is great. We have Riverside. We're going back to Riverside. They were a huge supporter, and I didn't give them a shout out for last year. We had our biggest car count was at Riverside.
Okay.
So they have a lot of women drivers in New Hampshire. So a lot of my big goals for next year, it was trying to do it this year, but like I said, I needed to be in August to be doing this. Wanted to get those New Hampshire drivers. They reach out to me constantly all the time to want to race with the ladies, but they don't want to travel 2 to 3 hours. And I get it. to come race with us. Some of that travels 5 hours away. So,
oh yeah.
You know, so I understand. So Riverside, we had 12 four cylinders. I want to say 12 V8s running.
Wow. That's great.
It was amazing. Some of the best racing that you would see with a bunch of women. I mean, I was out on that last one, 8 laps, a heat race, door to door, bumper to bumper. Anybody bobbled, we were going to be in trouble. We didn't. It was someone had to make a mistake for us to pass. It 8 laps. When the checkered flag flew, I had no idea it was a checkered flag. I was so into the moment of racing. It was the tightest racing. I don't think I've had any racing, and sorry guys, but with the men that you had 8 cars battling it out like that. It was hands down best race in a long time.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we do have Spud Speedway this year on our schedule, which is super exciting. They as well were a track that was, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they might have been closed and they've reopened. 2 gentlemen, they came to the expo, came and met with me. We had been talking, you know, online and stuff and on the phone. They came down and saw me. So I got to meet both of them this time. Super, super nice guys. They are excited for us to come up. We're excited to go up there. A lot of people have said it's a fun track, so I can't wait to bring them. So yeah, so we have our normal tracks that we've been to: Speedway 95, Unity, Riverside, Wiscasset, and then Spud this year. So that's where we're going this season.
That's great. And you've added a track, and you know, and you learned, you know, when you said you waited till October, I was thinking, oh, that's when the schedules come out.
Well, and most of them here, I was like, okay, guys, like, what's going on? And then, you know, they were head already. So yeah, so lessons learned. We're gonna do it in the middle of summer. I spoke to some of the people at the expo, which was great, which is why I wanted to go. I was able to see people face to face, have some new sponsors by going to the expo and talking with some people. And so that was a great learning experience for me to do that, just to see a different side of it. I'm a race car driver. I don't, I build the race cars, I race, I don't get to see this side. So,
well, I think that's I've obviously not been there, but from everything that I've heard about it from in the pits, you know, they had the guy on that runs it and stuff, and it sounds like it's an amazing expo. So that was a excellent place for you to go, not only for you to be seen, but to meet other people. So that was great.
Yep, absolutely. We were already making plans for next year. So yeah, absolutely. We were going to actually go down and visit Mallory. And unfortunately we just couldn't get it done, but to go down and support her for her expo, the motorsports thing that she just had this past weekend, just to go introduce ourselves and go support her. So we didn't get to make it, but maybe next year.
Well, we should talk about that. So I apologize. I'll just kind of flip through this, but you have a what happened? So you have a color book. This is a different one. This is Ladies of the Oval. Yours is the Ladies Acceleration Tour, but you can get them on Amazon, and they're so very cool. And they have drivers from your tour.
Yes.
That's upside down. They have drivers from your tour. These are a different tour, but it's similar.
Yeah.
And Mallory puts those together, and they are so cool. And you know, adults like to color nowadays. They have all kinds of adult coloring books. So adults could have these books too, and they're detailed.
They're very detailed. I wish I had one with me. There was one specific car. It's Cassie's, the V8, the 12 that was the champion, that they have her sponsors. Family were so excited because you could see the detail of their sponsorship on the side of her car, that I don't know how many books they ended up ordering for their family and stuff, because they were super excited. So, I mean, it was just that fine detail that she puts in those that, it's a hit. she's got something going on there for sure.
Oh yeah, it's a hit. And it was a hit for you too, to have that done.
It was, yeah, it was. The ladies are still talking about it. It sells. We brought them with us to the expo. The ladies are going to be purchasing them when it comes, if we get the opportunity to have autograph session night. It'll be probably handing those out at that time too. So
yeah, those would be great for autograph night, wouldn't
they? Yeah, it would. Yes, it would. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So Betty, tell me, you know, we have kids. I'm much older than you, and my kids are too. But looking down the line, your kids are growing up, and you've got this now that you're sharing and helping women be a part of motorsports. What's going to be your legacy with this?
I really think the legacy behind this tour is keeping them on the track. I mean, I thought to myself, I was like, what would you do when it's all said and done, you know, many years down the road, I'm just going to say many years down the road.
That's right.
When you're all said and done, what are you going to do? And I was like, I'm just going to hand it to somebody who wants to do this as much as I do.
Right.
I don't want to ever see it go away. You know, if these ladies can race with no payouts, they'll race that way just so that they can be on the track. So as long as we're supporting these racetracks, I think we'll always have a place to go. And I know the New Hampshire ladies really want us to get down there into New Hampshire. So I'm hoping, you never know, I might have a Southern Ladies Acceleration Tour.
Yeah.
You know, to give them that opportunity as well to race. So
right.
And we do have some ladies coming on the tour that have been out for many, many years, and people are now building them cars so that they can come and run this tour. It's that's truly exciting. It's exciting to hear that. That's what it was meant to be for.
Yeah. So I love, you know, and of course, where the position I'm in, I hear both sides. I hear from people that are like, well, you know, why are you pushing the women? You know, it's, you know, they want to be equals on the track. Yes, they do. They want to be treated the same as anybody else. The other side of that is there are some women who are not comfortable with the beating and banging and of their cars. One, maybe they're not comfortable with fixing them as much. It's a host of reasons. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there are women who only want to race with women, there's nothing wrong with that. So we have to give them that opportunity, or, you know, it's great that you're giving them that opportunity if that's what they choose to do. At my age, I'm not sure that I would ever get on a track with a bunch of 25-year-olds. Let's face it. And I'm not sure they would want me to, but I would get on a track with some 25-year-old girls, even though that's also, you know, they're pretty aggressive too. But your series has all ages of women, and they're comfortable. And that's the thing. They're not going out there to win a championship necessarily or whatever. They just want to race and have fun. And if they can race once a month or whatever, you know, however many times you race, and they can just meet their girlfriends at the track and have a couple of races to enjoy. Wow. I think that's awesome. I think maybe we need to do some more of that, or offer that, you know, for people who, everybody doesn't want the same thing out of racing.
Exactly. You nailed it when you said some of the women, I mean, a variety ages, 16. I might have had a 15-year-old. I want to say she was 15. 15 to 55 is the age group that we have. You have to have specific rules. So one of the things, you know, one of the things is, okay, let me just back up. I have seen some ladies' divisions that are a hot mess.
Yes.
They have some attitudes.
Yeah.
And it, you
well,
know,
because it's been allowed.
Right.
Because it's been allowed. And exactly. It's no different than men with a bunch of attitudes.
Correct.
Because if they allow it, then it's going to happen. So you got to stop it.
So I'm like, we're here to, the tracks are allowing us to come. We must be respectful. You're out here to race. Why ruin it? You know, I did this for you guys to race. There is going to be rules and the rules will be followed. And I don't want to go to a track and have a total disaster. They won't ask us to come back. And now you've lost a track. So the only person you can really blame is yourself, you know, and you got to take fault to that. So my ladies know I'm very strict when it comes to that. Because my biggest thing is I'm supporting these racetracks too. And making sure we're bringing a crowd of people with us, and that's providing monies for that track. So again, it's, I'm very strict about that rule. And like I said, it's no different than I race with the men. Okay. I'm one that will take the beating. I'll be disrespected on the track. I deserve to be treated better. Yeah, absolutely. I do. But I make that choice to go over there. So
yeah.
But the ladies here in the divisions, that's all they want to run is with the ladies. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to have to fix cars. It's expensive. So they don't want to do that. They would rather have a nice, clean racing. And the ladies is doing that for them. I can't wait for it to grow and have more women. And I think this first year was really showing them that we're not what they might have seen at another track of a ladies division that might have been the greatest showing. So,
or powder puff, you know, they call it powder puff. This powder is a puff. Whole different thing.
Now my ladies get a little upset when they get referred to as powder puffs. Because some of these ladies are running the same lap times as the men.
I know.
At their racetracks. First time out. Yeah. So it's surely not a powder puff. Grocery Getter, I think, is a new one they have out there now. That's just not what they are. No. They're far from that. They're full on. They're racing and laying the same times.
And you know what, Betty? If you were at Wiscasset and the announcer just said, okay, now we've got the acceleration series, leave the lady's name off of it. People wouldn't know that it's women in their racing.
No. And I think with Wiscasset, one of the things was Ken Minot, who's one of the announcers, and he's my contact, my go-to for Wiscasset. And we didn't have the biggest car showing at Wiscasset. It was the end of the season. And he made a point of it wasn't about the quantity. It was about the quality of racing. We had, again, door-to-door racing. Might have only been four of us V8s out there, but we laid some really amazing lap times and they promoted it. You know, they said they've never been here. None of them have ever laid a time on Wiscasset.
Yeah.
And then the crowd was crazy because they saw us lay some lap times. They're just as equal, just in different aspects. So
where can we find the schedule or follow for the ladies acceleration tour?
So I do have a website up and going now as well, which is the ladies acceleration tour. And I do have, Facebook is the same. It's a Facebook group. It's the ladies. I'm just trying to pull it up. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So this is the ladies acceleration.
Okay. So we should follow that.
Yep. Go ahead and follow that. You'll find all the schedules on there. You will find it on the website as well. I am starting. We have TikTok. My son is a huge promoter for me. He's my oldest boy, and he's really good when it comes to doing videos. So he's my promoter. I kind of got a TikTok now, finally, for the ladies acceleration tour. I'm not savvy when it comes to, like, Instagram or whatever, but we are getting there. So we will be on those things. So little steps at a time. Really visit all the sponsors that are part of the tour. Our schedule is on the website. I can shoot you an email and give you that as well.
Okay.
And then, you know, the Facebook group is probably the most it's very up to date. It's constant on there.
Okay.
So when schedule changes, you're going to see it there first.
Yeah. All right. Betty, this has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
To see, you know, I remember back when we did the story in 2018 and, you know, it hasn't been that many years ago. And yet look in the last 5-6 years, how things have changed for you and what you're doing to help promote women. And I just love it. I've, you know, tried to stay in touch. And then, like I mentioned, Delaney, you know, kind of mentioned it. And then I had someone else mention it to me. And then when I said, well, who's running this? And they said, Betty Nelson. I said, oh, I know who she is. So I'll reach out to her. So that was good that we could get together. And I want to share this. I want people to not only come and watch, but the ladies out there who are close enough that they could be part of this tour, they should jump on board because this sounds like a night of fun and you're making friends with other women who have the same things in life that you enjoy, and that's racing. And so get out there and follow them, promote them, share what they're doing, everyone, with your followers, so that we can help Betty get the word out about what's happening.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. Betty, is there anything at all we haven't talked about that you want to make sure we share?
I need to make sure. I mean, we talked about the racetracks. I need to thank them yet again. Without them, there is no Ladies Acceleration Tour. And to all the sponsors, all my sponsors from last year are coming on board this year, and we have some new ones. So a big thank you to them. And I want to end this with something that I got a message this morning, and excuse me, it was some kids that race at Bartlett Ridge, which is a dirt go-kart track here in the state of Maine in Waterboro. And they went to the expo for the first time. Kuchar, I hope I pronouncing their name right, Kuchar Racing. They went to the expo for the first time. Mom heard about it with me on social media. So she went up, she saw us, things like that. The kids loved the fact that everybody up there were working together as a community of racers. Okay. Mm-hmm. They decided to do a sponsorship, and their sponsorship, I'm happy to announce, is the Ladies Acceleration Tour. They want to give back to racing, and they felt that the tour needed to have their sponsorship. So to those three amazing kids, we need to continue to do this. Every racer out there needs to continue to do this, and they are the stepping stone to do that. So I'm glad I'm participating in that. So
that is amazing.
Yes.
That is just amazing.
It is.
Oh, I'm glad you shared that. It's, you know, we have the best people in this sport.
We do.
We do. Mm-hmm. There's a few bad apples.
Right. Yeah. The good ones take it away. So.
But there's so many more good ones.
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Well, Betty, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to record this. I know that this is going to be a lot of interest for a lot of the ladies out there. Even if they can't race with the tour, maybe it'll spark some interest that they will start one in California or Texas or somewhere where they live. And
if
it's
they
hard
do,
to say.
I want to be a part of it.
All right. Well, they'll reach out to you, I'm sure. So thanks again for being on. And hopefully you have a really good season. I'm going to be keeping track of you. I can tell you that.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Women's Motorsports Network podcast. We hope you've been inspired by the stories I shared today and feel more connected to the amazing community of women in motorsports. Remember, whether you're behind the wheel, in the pits, or cheering from the stands, your story matters. And together, we're driving change and celebrating every milestone. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who loves motorsports as much as you do. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and more incredible stories. So until next time, stay inspired, stay connected, and keep racing through life. This is the Women's Motorsports Network podcast, where every woman's story is worth celebrating.